This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
This is Colton Polton News and Views. Good afternoon, Mr. Driscoll.
Good afternoon, and an introduction to a lady who once was a little girl. She was born far from here. A country, though, that has ties to New Zealand, which we'll discover before the end of the program today. Samantha Willier, tell us about your childhood.
I'm born in Bordeaux, not very far from Wagnard.
Bonjour.
Comment allez-vous? How are you?
The place where you were born and grew up. What was the country like around it?
Around Bordeaux, you can find Wagnard, and the sea pretty close to. You can access the beach quite easily, and every weekend. So I have a lot of memories with my parents. Went to these very wild beaches that were at that time. So it changed a lot. The last 40 years, but at that time it was just awesome.
And because you've come to the other side of the world, what do you miss most of those childhood memories?
Saucisson, cheese. I already loved it when I was a child, so it's there's a lot of memories around food and what my grandmothers could prepare at that time.
Well, you've come from a region in France called Bordeaux, of course, famous for wine. Are you a wine connoisseur?
I went to wine pretty late in age, so I started to drink wine more in my 30s than before. So, I was not ready before to enjoy it as I should. So.
It's a very integral part of French culture, no doubt.
Definitely.
Does it bring problems? You see, in New Zealand, we have undeniably problems over alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Many people are afflicted.
Mm-hmm.
Does that happen in France?
I think it happens in any country of this world. We are not different from all the others. It's all about drinking responsibly and just to enjoy what you're drinking and have a good time with your friends and family, but not to the point that you get sick or...
When you came to meet foreigners in France,
mm-hmm.
around Bordeaux, and you appreciated that across the channel there lay a country that speaks as we are now.
Mm-hmm.
Did language interest you?
Of course, I really fell in love with English from the early years of high school in France. And I've always had the opportunity to use it, so to improve it and keep it all my life. And hence why, in fact, I ended up in New Zealand feeling quite comfortable I could communicate.
On Friday night, I saw the president's wife, the life and times of Jacques Chirac's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine Deneuve was the actress who played mm-hmm. her.
Yes.
An interesting time, because in the background it was Sarkozy. It was a comic take on their lives. Chirac himself was a womanizer. She's still alive, actually. I looked at the movie. It was a comic take on it. But you just saw what the French did during that time of Chirac and then Sarkozy and presidents afterwards. Were you were born in that area, in that era?
I was, for sure, but I left France in 2000. So I've been away from France for the last 24 years.
It's been a long time.
A long time.
Have you revisited that time?
Of course, I did, to visit my family who stayed around the area of Lyon. Yes, I've been, as you live overseas, in fact, you get less involved into that thinking, that level of thinking, and you need also to focus where you live currently. And
It fades
away, yes.
The eras of our lives.
Definitely.
It's only natural But when you go back, do you feel I'm home?
Yeah, I will always have this feeling of it's there. That's where my roots are. That's where I think the grounds of my culture is, and I will always feel yes, as if I'm not in. Yes, I'm at home, and I still have family over there. So it's not as if I was just visiting to be a tourist or something like that.
Politically, the face of Europe has changed. Mm. And now France is seen as a part of something greater, the European Union. Mm-hmm. Has that been a smooth transition? Do people still hold the old prejudices against countries that are near their borders?
Yeah, from where I am, I feel that it faded away too, but there are still a lot of questions about of people in fact misunderstanding in fact how we are within the European Union, and it's I think a lack of knowledge about there are good things in all things, and I think there are good things from being part of Europe, and other things that in fact you need to have a wider understanding to understand why you feel it's not that positive.
Today, of course, there's a fear that France is going far right. The Pens, that's the fear in France right at this moment. They're going the very far right.
Yeah, it's... and here again, from overseas, it's quite disappointing that French people... ended that way, but I think it's in old culture where you're fed up about something and you just want to try something else without having any experience with them. So I understand while I'm quite disappointed that we went down that hill, and it's definitely not what we are in terms of values.
And yet... France is proud of its democracy.
Absolutely.
And it all goes back to a time and a place, Bastille. It was a fortress in Paris.
And it's Bastille next week. It's Bastille. We'll be here on air on Bastille Day too. So you're looking forward to that day.
Oh, definitely. As the president of the Alliance Française here in Hamilton, in fact, Bastille Day is our main event of the year. We want to gather as many people as we want so that we can celebrate all together as close as how we celebrate it in France. So usually in France, in fact, it's fire station who organize kind of a dancing. It's very open to everyone, and it's very chill atmosphere, and it's organized by firemen by tradition, and it's a way for them to fundraise for their social club or for the fire station in itself. Traditionally, and here again, I have a lot of memories in France where I spent most of my Bastille Day celebrations in villages where I was in holidays with my grandparents. And we had a lot of fun, a lot of music, dance, sharing food, and it was all very cozy, very chill, very simple, but it was a lot of fun and a fantastic atmosphere.
Do many French regret getting rid of the royal family, guillotining the king and Marie Antoinette? Do they regret getting rid of the royal family?
No, I don't think we do. I don't think we do, and in some way, in fact, we're kind of... there's some pride in it, but it's our history that can't be really compared with any other other countries with
we've seen a lot of French culture. We've had Les Miserables, of course, and those fabulous songs from that particular show, and the French Film Festival, which has been here in Hamilton, a Rialto, which I attended the other night. Lido, and so going back to that movie, but What's going to happen to France in the future?
I have absolutely no idea.
And in all fairness, nor do we in New Zealand. We don't know. That's the fascination of study of politics, trying to use past events as predictors of what's to come, but it doesn't always, in fact, not very often, works out. This occasion, Bastille Day, it covers right across the political spectrum of today.
Absolutely. I think it's an event that gather people, whatever their political opinions are. It's just the opportunity to have everyone gathering and having fun all together. There's, I don't know any place that would be just for some people from this political thinking, and another one that would be organized for. It's just the opportunity to have everyone, and there's no discrimination around political thinking. Yeah.
I look at the storming of the Bastille. There was only a couple of prisoners in that prison at the time, so it was a pretty empty prison when the rioters got there. So those people back in those days had just had enough.
Definitely, but I wasn't there, so I don't know how many was left in the prison.
1789, Bastille Day, the day that the mob invaded the fortress, the start of the French Revolution. Oh, by comparison, today's a breeze. France is well integrated in the Union.
Mm-hmm.
There are younger leaders coming, and the progression of nations who once found themselves at war in history are now close in their economic ties and working a future, they hope, that will benefit everyone. Do you fear for Europe?
I always feel for people who feel that there has no other escape than to choose extreme political thinking there can be a solution in it. There's, and history taught us that it has never been a good option, but we have a short memory, so here we are.
Yeah. And when you carry your life outside to another country, settle here for so long as you have, do you still, at home, in private, hang on to French culture in a way that goes with the holiday, Bastille Day? Music, food?
Yes, of course. And we organize each year a big event, as I mentioned before, where we want to have all this in one place and make sure that we have very high-end event where everybody can taste French food, French music, live French music, and a live show.
Yeah.
And you wish to share that with others who have the common origin or interest in France?
Oh, we share it. In fact, we open it to everyone who wants to have that night from this French experience. And for example, for this year, in fact, we are welcoming a bit more than 120 people for that event.
Okay, where is it located? Where is it going to be held?
So it will be held in the Zone Bar in Sky City. It will be this Saturday from 6 p.m. But unfortunately, we have been sold out for the last 2 weeks.
Well, that's a good sign.
Yes, definitely. In fact, we have been running that even for the last 3 years, and it's increasing. The interest is increasing year after year. So I think next year we'll.
Sad I can't come, but I've got other commitments. But we'll be thinking of you, and we remember. We're going to take a bit of a music break, and it's got a bit of French in this song. This is Petula Clark, who spent a lot of time living in France. There is a bit of a French element to this.
The rain was falling down as I flew out of town. I went to Paris for the day. And there I got to know a certain Romeo with oh so gentle continental ways. Monsieur Dupont, Monsieur Dupont, that I was never loved before. Monsieur Dupont, I know it's wrong, but I don't ever wanna go home anymore. You said hello to me, and I began to say that I could fall.
Sandy Shaw, my mistake, but Petula Clark has spent time living in France. And Monsieur Dupont, it is 19 minutes past one. Our guest is from France.
Samantha Whittier. Samantha, there's an organisation that you're a part of now. In fact, they were probably grateful for you being available as president, mm-hmm. president, mm-hmm. Alliance Française Hamilton. Mm. Now, what's special about Hamilton in relation to Alliance Française?
So Hamilton was the first city in New Zealand to welcome, to create an Alliance Française. So that's something we are very proud of. And it was, and I don't remember exactly the number, but I think it was 60 years ago. So we had a group of people who were really loving French culture and loving French language and who made it possible. So it was not in the form of Alliance Française at that time, but it became with the time Alliance Française.
Yeah. Of course, Hamiltonians served in World War One and World War Two, and mm-hmm. a lot of them served in France on the Somme, et cetera. And we remember them. We love remembering our soldiers. Many of them are buried in French graveyards and all that. So France probably looks after their graves, etc.
Yes. They are regularly regular events every year where, in fact, we commemorate our soldiers and also soldiers from overseas. So, for example, you know, the Arc de Triomphe is one symbol of all the soldiers who fell for France, should they have been French or not, to commemorate what they did for us.
And we can't remember your fabulous Louvre Museum, which of course has the Mona Lisa. You've got the Eiffel Tower, so that's probably the first place people going to France would look for.
You can't go to Paris without visiting Louvre or Eiffel Tower. Otherwise, you come back home and how was the Eiffel Tower? I didn't see it.
And we can't forget the Arc de Triomphe too. So there's fabulous photos of Paris in the summertime and. Mm.
So in setting up the organisation Alliance Française Hamilton, what's the aim?
So we have different purposes. So one of them is to run French classes. So we run French classes for adults, for teens, for children too. We also run workshops with high schools. So it's all about connecting people and make sure that they have the right place where they can learn French when they want.
Could you see exchange tours by French students coming to New Zealand to get a bit of New Zealand culture, Maori, et cetera? Could you see French students come here in the future?
I think it's a bit different in terms of exchange. It's a bit complicated with New Zealand because it's a bit complex in terms of visa and school here in fight costs most of the time. So yeah, it's not an easy exchange to organise.
And of course, in the past, New Zealand French relations haven't been so wonderful after a certain bombing in a certain Auckland harbour. We won't talk about that. So, but when do you plan to next visit France?
In November.
Do you go as a family?
No, I really didn't go with myself, which is more than enough, and to visit my grandparents.
That's important. Always has been?
It has always been.
Mm. It has been, and there you'll be speaking French all the time. And tell me, where did you learn English?
In high school, where I, as I said, I fell quite in love with that language and always put a lot of effort into it and making sure that I could progress. And I ended up working in English environment and all my career experience. So it may not be perfect and I still have my stinky accent.
No, don't take it.
Were you one of those who enjoyed the French Film Festival mm-hmm. recently? There was a question about whether it could keep going, but the enthusiasm from Hamiltonians, it seems, brought it here.
I think this year was pretty awesome in terms of results. Even the grand opening, the first night, we gathered 150 people, which was broke all records we had before.
Well, I was there on Friday night watching the president's wife, but I was there watching Johnny Depp playing Louis the 15th, mm-hmm. and so Johnny Depp had learned French because it was all in your native tongue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and his ex-wife was French too, and his kids speak French, so I guess it was quite easy to learn French too.
Through the media, like films, mm-hmm. cinema, do you detect that the cultures are so different that makes the one treated as a drama, if it be a drama, in film, quite distinct from what the English might do, or the Germans? Mm-hmm. Is it really, to you, very different when you're able to dip into your memories and see the films and as the cultures are portrayed? As if people are almost not united by the same human customs and behaviour, but have their own stamp of culture.
In how French are showed through those movies,
mm-hmm. how the audience to a French film festival mm-hmm. might include people who are going specially because the French have something on the screen mm-hmm. that is not English. You know, mm-hmm. it's so different. Not just a question of language, but custom, yep. the situations, the way people solve things. Mm-hmm. They used to make jokes about things like that mm-hmm. and different reactions to the same situation with the stereotypes that went with the other cultures. Mm-hmm. Do you see any evidence that it's alive and well, that people enjoy the difference and can see that the stark difference of approach between Americans to movies, the English, and no?
Well, I would see more difference between the American style and the French style, but I think we have a type of humor also in our movies and a way to get emotional through what is displayed in the movie that is, I think, proper to how we are. But it's quite difficult, in fact, to showcase it and explain it and so on. I think you would show roughly the same. For example, there are movies, French movies, that has been, the same movie that has been done in the US, so they booked the rights and they did their own movie based. Yeah. But when you watch both of them, there's nothing related, there's nothing that you can really The same story has been applied in a different environment with a different way to interact with people with a different environment and so on. So, just by comparing both movies, in fact, you can't really you can really notice, in fact, the main difference.
So this French humor. Did the French ever see the British television series called Allo, Allo? Which was set during World War II. The actors spoke in fractured French, of course, and of course the most popular actor was it the guy who played the French Grand Dame. I don't know if you've ever seen the BBC's Allo, Allo, have you?
No, never.
No. It's one example of where we make fun of culture in a way that some people protest and say you're misleading, you're perpetuating false ideas about it.
It exists definitely, but we do also the same. How we would joke from Belgian, from English, from Germans, and Germans, how they would think about the French, and how in fact we have jokes about each other. I think it's part of.
Course, in between England and France, it's not so far away when you. When you travel to the White Cliffs of Dover, you can see France on the White Cliffs of Dover. So France and England aren't so far away from each other.
No, they're not.
Alliance Française attracts bigger numbers than ever to the classes of English, conversational.
Classes of French.
Academic, no.
Classes of French.
Sorry?
Classes of French. Yes. Just wanted to make sure that people understand that it's classes of French.
Right, yes. And where are they going to be held?
And when will it?
When will they be held?
When will be the sessions learning the language?
It's all during the school time, so we follow the school calendar. And so, for example, for 2 weeks, there's no class. But it's mostly in the evening for adults, so from 6:30 to 8 p.m.
Yep.
And for children, it's Wednesday afternoon and Thursday afternoon.
Is this part of the Fraser High adult education scheme, is it? Or?
Absolutely not.
You've got a separate, and you have had for many years, a separate system that is not connected to. Is it funded in any way by grants from the government of France?
Yes, we receive a few subventions, but we have also, in fact, to find our own funds to keep existing. So, for example, now we have premises. They are located in 114 Alexandra Street, the first floor. And so that's where now we welcome all our French classes and most of our events. An event that I think would be worth talking about is our monthly breakfast, where we gather 30-ish people every month. It's not located in our premises, but it's one of our previous president's place. And we like, in fact, to facilitate discussions, whatever level of French you have. And it could be through games, through discussions, through, and people like to come just to socialize, have fun. Yeah. And that's a great.
The French Film Festival is nearly over, so is planning underway for next year. If it ever happens next year, is planning underway now or?
In fact, it happens every year. It's been for almost 10 years, and at least, I'm pretty sure it will happen next year.
So important to preserve language. Do the people who come have different motivations?
Definitely. You will have those who want to learn and practice their French thanks to their ears or reading. And you will have just those who want to see another kind of movies, those who want to learn a bit of what happens in France or what part of history, for example. For example, this lineup this year there was a lot of movies talking about people who had existing a long time ago or pretty recently. So, for example, you named the President's Wife movie that was that is someone who exists, but there was also the movie with Johnny Depp.
I noticed in the movie the other night, I don't know if it really happened, but Jacques Chirac really didn't want to share the stage with his wife. I wonder if that really happened.
I would say most of men, in fact, don't want to share the stage with their wives. So.
good comeback.
Yeah. Oh, Samantha Whittier, thank you for coming and acquainting us more with the Alliance Française. They used to be on this very frequency, Free FM 89.0, mm-hmm. a French program, once a week.
Oh, cool. That's
and
good to
it
know.
Went for years and years, but then time passes and things change and new ways of...
We may think about it.
Oh, good on you. I've got a popular track from a movie called Gigi, which starred your own legend of film and television, Maurice Chevalier. Mm-hmm. Thank heaven for little girls.
That's my grandparents' age.
Hey, you can play this interview back to your... Do your grandparents speak English? How's their English?
No, they don't. They don't, but I was even thinking that it may not even be their age, but their parents' age, so it was a very long time ago.
Hey, but you can play this interview back to them when you go back to France, because it'll be ready for download tomorrow morning, so you can pick it up.
They would look at me and say, why did you bring it?
And you have an email address where people can communicate their interest?
Sure. We have a website where you can get connected to our Alliance. It's AF Hamilton, all in one word, .org.nz.
Thank you very much for coming in and joining us on Sunday, the week before Bastille Day.
Thank you for the invitation.
It's a pleasure.
Helpless and appealing, one day will flash and send you crashing through the ceiling. Thank heaven for little girls. Thank heaven for them all, no matter where, no matter who. Without them, what would little boys do? Thank heaven. Thank heaven, thank heaven for little girls. And appealing, one day will flash and send you crashing through the ceiling. Thank heaven for little girls. Thank heaven for them all, no matter where, no matter who. Without them, what would little boys do? Thank heaven. Thank heaven. Thank heaven for little girls.
Yeah, the late Maurice Chevalier, thank heaven for little girls. Got to do some fact-checking. Last week when we spoke to Gary, we mentioned the series Bonanza started in 1959 during the presidency of Ike Eisenhower. I made a mistake at the end. Lyndon B. Johnson was not president in 1973 when Bonanza ended. There was Richard Milhouse, I am not a crook, Nixon. And another fact check. A couple of weeks ago I said it was the longest day. No, it was the shortest day. So I better tell you that I had to fact check myself. And I had to fact check myself this afternoon too. So there we are. I've repaired the damage.
Whenever I feel afraid, I hold my head erect and whistle a happy tune so no one will suspect I'm afraid. While shivering in my shoes, I strike a careless pose and whistle a happy tune and tell. For when I fool the people I fear, I fool myself as well. I whistle a happy tune, and every single time, the happiness in the tune convinces me that I'm not afraid. Make believe you're brave, and the trick will take you far. You may be as brave as you make believe you are. You may be as brave as you make believe you are. Whenever I feel afraid, I hold my head erect and whistle a happy tune so no one will suspect I'm afraid. While shivering in my shoes, I strike a careless pose and whistle a I'm afraid. The result of this deception is very strange to tell. For when I fool the people I fear, I fool myself as well. I whistle a happy tune, and every single time, the happiness in the tune convinces me that I'm not afraid. Make believe you're brave,
a happy tune, the late Deborah Carr from the soundtrack of A King and I. Back to nostalgia. I love those NZBC memos on wearing a tie, etc., etc. But seriously, one of the most saddest times in New Zealand radio happened with the sinking of Turi. Let's take an extract from the sinking of Turi.
Mayday, mayday, mayday. This is Paul Einem on board the MV Turi. Mayday, mayday. We are on the rocks. We estimate our position to be near Wangaparapara Harbour on Great Barrier Island, on the western side of Great Barrier Island. Mayday, mayday, mayday.
Again, on board the Turi, I'd like to warn everybody who's looking for us that we have no lights. We have no lights. We have a torch. There's very little lighting on board the Turi. Very little lighting indeed. We're trying to get out of here. The engine's still going. The engine's very overheated. We are off the rocks, but heading for another lot of rocks. But we're
That's an extract from the Mayday, Mayday message that Radio Hauraki gave when they went onto the rocks. As was back in the mid-60s, of course, their founder, David Gapes, died in March of this year. And the White Rabbit. Well, it was a good, bad day for the Conservatives in the UK. And this week, as Conservatives lost power, they lost members like Jacob Rees-Mogg. They lost of course, Rishi Sunak, who said sorry and resigned, but he's hanging on in there. Cameron's gone back to the Lords. Liz Truss is gone, and other high-profile Conservative MPs. But the main thing, of course, is Nigel Farage has come back into Parliament. Well, he has just come back into Parliament. He's of the far right, and he's a friend of Donald Trump's. Good afternoon, Gary Schofield.
Good afternoon, Bruce. And I noticed that Donald Trump congratulated Farage in a very overt and public way in that regard.
A correspondent wrote to Sunday Star Times, published today, with a heavy heart, reflecting on portent for disaster if a forthcoming presidential election comes down to between a Democrat, Joe Biden, and Republican, Donald Trump. Marine Steinke of Christchurch offers her opinion that considering that Biden's opponent is a convicted felon, an adulterer, and a liar, the fact the Democrats don't seem to be able to find a candidate to wipe Trump out is very concerning, she writes. Never again will it be as easy as this time to beat the Republican candidate. Never again, she says, will the opportunity come along for a Democratic candidate who hasn't billions to finance a bid for the presidency to become the presidential candidate for Democrats. What do you say to that? A man of much political experience at the heart of things in Washington, D.C., Gary Schofield.
Well, first of all, I say wonderful of your listener to go to the time and trouble to voice her concerns and all very interesting points that she brings up and into the conversation. So I would also say that there are perils and opportunities for the Democratic Party in this particular situation with President Biden. So as you might have heard, he did a reasonably good job in his interview with George Stephanopoulos, but made it clear that only the Lord Almighty was going to remove him from that opportunity to sit again. So it seems that at this point, he's adamant about being the nominee. Now, what could happen is that for the perils would be the cognitive test that has been suggested for him. And I'm sure that we're all familiar with cognitive tests in New Zealand. When you go to write a will, or if you're an elderly person, or if there's some reason you should pass a cognitive test, they ask you questions like, who is the prime minister? You know, they're easy questions. So in this case, it would be, who is the president? So should, and he would pass that test. All those kind of low performance tests that we would have, he would pass. But what if they challenge him to a neurology exam, or that the independent test is not so independent when you consider how important it is at the top to have, you know, dominance of a political party? So much is at stake. You wonder what that could be. And what could happen in between now if he has another debate where he seems to lose his thread? And what the issue is, mental acuity. And he's another 4 years in power. So these are some of the perils on the opportunity side. Perhaps it isn't the case that he's the only Democrat in this position to go up against President Trump. There are several, but this is also perilous. But there's the Vice President, Kamala Harris. But of course, there is Newsom as well, the governor of California. And it could be an opportunity between now and then for the parties to get behind, the Democrats to get behind him. So this is the way that I see it, opportunity and peril. And if it's really the case in a democracy of the president within these next 4 years not being in charge, then you have to ask, you know, who in a democracy is making the decisions for us, for him? And the other, just the quoting the billions, one more quick point, because you brought up the billions of dollars. This is actually some of the problem that we have in Washington, because if it really does count on who can raise the billions, then you are beholden to big donors, and big donors probably are not going to represent you and I that could raise maybe tens of dollars for the presidency campaign. Yep. They'd be raising hundreds of thousands, if not more. So that tends to sway any candidate. So money aside, there are still opportunities for the Democratic Party to be triumphant.
Yep. This lineup after Biden, of course, like the British royal family, there's a big line of people who could, if maybe they'll become king or queen. But in America, you've got Biden at the moment, Harris. After Harris comes, is it the Speaker of the House?
It's the Speaker of the House, yes, that would be pro tempore, as they call it there. Quite right, you know your stuff.
And, of course, where does the Speaker of the House, the Republican guy, the Speaker, where does he come in? Does he have a chance or...
The Speaker of the House?
Yeah, what's his name? Who's not a big fan of Biden, the current Republican guy?
Mike.
Yeah, that guy.
That's him. Yeah. And I had him on my tip of my tongue for the last time too. But yes, but this is in terms of if the president becomes incapacitated or is deemed to be so.
Yep.
What we're really talking about is who is going to be going forward in the representation of the Democratic Party, which is slightly different. And yes, you would think that it would fall to the vice president, but again, this is where it gets to be a peril for the Democrats,
yep,
because they could splinter into factions of their own side and Biden could still resist.
Yep.
So that would be a certainty for a win for President Trump, virtually,
yep,
if that happened.
And of course, this comes under the 25th Amendment.
Oh, in terms of the competence.
Yes.
Yes, we love our amendments. We go through them, don't we? Now we're on to the 25th.
Yeah. Hey, I've also been watching replays of, guess what, Martin Sheen playing American president on the West Wing. I've been watching lots of replays, and they did their work on that to get it right. And you saw Martin Sheen with all those advisors and bullets coming through the windows, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, and I've always maintained, however, as an artist myself, that art is a pale interpretation of life, not the other way around. We tend to go through our humdrum lives and think that art lifts us, which it does to some degree, from our lives, and art is greater and more flamboyant and more wonderful than our lives. But it's actually round the other way, in my experience. Real life trumps stories and fiction and art any time, and we are living in interesting times, which according to Chinese folklore is a curse. We don't want interesting times, we want stable and pleasant times.
What is Stuart saying from America at the moment? What is he saying about the battle lines being drawn?
Well, I did speak with him, and he has similar concerns to all Americans. So we are living in a time where it used to be we could sit around a table, I could have a whole set of views on religion, on politics, on all those things that we used to engage, but whether it is our withdrawing into sending texts to people or engaging in social media instead of being able to have conversation, that has now become so bitter and so dramatic and forceful that people are worried that if the United States descends into a faction, so for example, what if whoever wins decides that it's an invalid election or has other reasons to challenge? And don't forget, we've got new stakes. According to the Supreme Court, now the president is immune. That is currently President Biden is immune from prosecution of anything that he does. So whoever sweeps into power will actually be having a new form of presidency that will be more powerful than ever before if anything you do in the guise or the name of your presidency is immune. Hmm. Those are huge stakes.
Yeah.
I think Stuart and all the rest of us over there are concerned that we don't want this to break out into any forms of violence.
I have been watching the news in America and Britain, and of course there is a Democratic senator or congresswoman who is planning to impeach those justices who gave both Biden and Trump immunity.
Yes, there's intention and there is progress, and as you noticed, your worry about women losing the right to vote has not come to fruition. So yes, and we've seen lots of impeachment attempts that have failed, so I'm not sure whether attacking the Supreme Court is going to change this in the near-term future, like, for example, by November, where it's going to matter. Mm-hmm. And also, it won't change it, like, as of today. So as of today, President Biden actually has powers that have just been given to him, and any future president from here on in will be able to have immunity in that regard, which is a sour byproduct of bringing this to the Supreme Court in the first place, trying to get President Trump convicted of various things.
His trial, his sentencing has been delayed until September.
It's a lot of impact.
Yeah. Hey, Gary, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Shifting the focus to Britain, do you think that, using your definition, I think, that stable and pleasant times awaits the new government?
Well, in fact, my own personal view is that not much has changed. What if you look around, and we have to look at how this affects the wars and the other things that are contributing to fragility for our planet, those individuals that began with the support for Ukraine, for example, and I include in that Liz Truss, as you mentioned before, and people have been quite vocal in the support of Ukraine, are now throughout Europe as well as Britain being replaced by different figures. I don't think that you'll see that any change with Keir Starmer and in that position. The little subtle change, and it's a subtle but important change because it does reflect a worldwide sweep against or a reactionary force that some call right-wing. So you are seeing that with Nigel Farage's party, and because he is so demonstratively and clever at the way that he has his politics, he is a larger voice than his four or however many seats he has actually gives him power to control.
That other right-wing politician, George Galloway, lost his seat. So, and Jacob
Rees. By a whisker, though. Yes.
And Jacob Rees. And the old Etonian, Jacob Rees-Mogg, also lost his seat. So,
remarkable and that, for personalities.
Yeah.
But so, as they say, and we're all looking at the future here as we look at President Biden and what he's going to do. But as they say in politics, a week is a long time.
I mean, we'll talk to you on Bastille Day next week.
Yes, indeed.
Parlez-vous français. Good afternoon to you.
Enchanté.
It's a pleasure. Hey, just listen to this, then we'll talk to our friend about rugby.
7:08 already after 3 o'clock. You can save on exquisitely French perfume Star Glow Luxury Talc and Secret Net Hairspray as well. Regular and firm set 6-ounce Secret Net Hairspray is priced at only 59 cents. So exciting is the news, I can hardly get it out. McKenzie's this week, it's been reduced from 65 cents.
Value at McKenzie's.
Better believe it, you get value at McKenzie's, do you want it?
There we are, the voice of the late Rick Grant. Sadly, he drowned on the Hauraki Gulf as they attempted to rescue the Turi. Good afternoon, Dwayne.
Yeah, good afternoon, troops.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
Okay, just give us the headlines.
Yes, I can tell you that Hamilton Marist beat Hamilton Old Boys by 2 points, by 35 to 33. Universally beat Hautepe by 31 to 17. Tiamu Sports beat Morrisville Sports by 35 to 17. Then you see the University of Manamata, 25 over Fraser Tech, 24. Then you see the old Otrahonga Melville a bye each. So next week is going to be a tough one. So you know, three losses in a row there. How tappy, come on, shoulders up. You know, I think you can do it, but, you know, three losses in a row is not too good for for the points.
Hey, thank you, Dwayne. Now, final word, Trevor's talk. Good afternoon, Trevor.
Good afternoon. News Hub has changed. Now, it's just a news hour in Channel 3 at 6 o'clock.
Yes.
Now, what I can't figure it out. I must have missed something somewhere. They're getting rid of all those staff members. Some of them have been reading the news for years. Replacing them with new people. If there's going to still be a news program at that hour, why not just leave status quo?
Because I think it comes from America. The owners of TV3, Warner Brothers Discovery, are a big conglomerate. You know Warner Brothers for all those movies. They've been around over 100 years. They've ruled that they're losing money on their movies. So New Zealand gets affected too, and they've got to cut back.
Yeah. Well, whoever's taken over, could they not have retained the staff and such?
As this is happening in all media organisations. Keep looking. But thank you to Stuff for hiring Samantha Hayes, and I'm sad to see the end of Mike McRoberts and Eric Young and others.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're not going to fund poor old Paddy Gower for another television series. This is NZ On Air. What happens to people like Paddy Gower?
Well, exactly. And so it goes on. Redundancy is like a cancer creeping through society.
Oh, look.
It's going to cause all sorts of problems. They're going to probably lose their homes, these people. They won't get the same independence.
Well, I think Mike McRoberts is retiring anyway, so...
He wouldn't be 65, would he?
I don't know. I don't... It's
hard to tell, really, isn't it?
I try not to... Well, I know you're in your 70s and I'm in my 60s and Mel's on... I don't ask Mel. It's kind of rude to ask people their ages, especially women. They get very upset about people asking their age.
Yeah, especially if they've got a lot of makeup on.
We won't go into that. Hey, thank you. See you next week. Bye-bye for now.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.